of air.
Rataha,
the chariot.
Vranam,
sense of smell.
Avrinte,
catches.
Gandaha,
aroma.
That means smell.
Ashayat,
from the source.
Evam,
similarly.
Yogaratam,
engaged in devotional service.
Chetaha,
consciousness.
Atmanam,
the supreme soul.
Avikari,
unchanging.
Yat,
which.
So translation, as the chariot of air carries an aroma from its source and immediately catches the sense of smell. Similarly, one who constantly engages in devotional service in Krishna consciousness can catch the supreme soul who is equally present everywhere. As you can repeat, as the chariot of air carries an aroma from its source and immediately catches the sense of smell. Similarly, one who constantly engages in devotional service in Krishna consciousness can catch the supreme soul who is equally present everywhere. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As a breeze carrying a pleasant fragrance from a garden of flowers at once captures the organ of smell, so one's consciousness, saturated with devotion, can at once capture the transcendental existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who in His Paramatma feature is present everywhere, even in the heart of every living being. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Kshetragya, present within this body, but He is also simultaneously present in every other body. Since the individual soul is present only in a particular body, He is altered when another individual soul does not cooperate with Him. The Supersoul, however, is equally present everywhere. Individual souls may disagree, but the Supersoul, being equally present in everybody, is called unchanging or avikari. The individual soul, when fully saturated with Krishna consciousness, can understand the presence of the Supersoul. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that vakja mam abhija nati. A person saturated with devotional service and full Krishna consciousness can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead either as Supersoul or as the Supreme Person. So, yata vata rato granam avikrin avrinte gandaha shayat evam yoga kritam cheta atmanam avikariyat.
So, Omaganat Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Miritam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, of course, here's the description of a person who is Krishna conscious. And of course, we know there's other descriptions, the same light. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Shantakshadaiva Ridyeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shaima Shunda Achinja Guna Sarupam Govindamadi Purusham Dhammaham Bhajami. That one whose eyes are saturated, or they have the anjana, the ointment of prema, then they see Krishna in their heart of hearts. They see Krishna everywhere. So the same thing is there. So this is the position of a pure devotee. But unfortunately for us, we're not pure devotees yet. So we also have to develop a desire and the consciousness of seeing Krishna everywhere. So
Why is it important to see Krishna everywhere, especially in everyone's heart? Because if we don't see Krishna everywhere in everyone's heart, actually slow me down if I go too fast. But if we don't see Krishna in everyone's heart, then guess what? Our devotional service is not accepted by Krishna. Because it's Lord Kapiladev says that one who offers actually puja, but doesn't respect Krishna in everyone's heart, then he's actually offering oblations to ashes. And we don't want to offer oblations to ashes. Even if you're a Shiva Bhakta, you don't offer oblations to the ashes, you offer the ashes to Lord Shiva. Anyway, a little bit different. So, in other words, until you can actually see Krishna and appreciate Krishna's presence in everyone's heart, then your devotional service is not so effective. You're on the platform of Kanishta. Kanishta means materialistic devotee. Of course, we know the three stages of devotional services: Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. So what distinguishes the three, an important factor that distinguishes the three, is how they see Krishna. For example, a Kanishta Adhikari just sees Krishna in the temple. He comes to the temple. Because most people are Kanishta Adhikaris. That's why we need big temples. I mean, that's practical. Because if you say Krishna's in your heart, they don't care. I mean, they're not aware that Krishna's watching every move that they make. Even most devotees aren't. When they're in the temple, they behave themselves sometimes. But when they leave the temple, it doesn't matter. They can yell at someone else. You know, they could yell at their wives, "You rascal!" The wife can take a rolling pin, hit the husband on the head, "You rascal!" I'm sure you've never seen this. But anyway, this is just in the West this happens. When people yell at each other, right? I know. So you could lie, you could cheat, you could steal. You could engage in illicit activities. You can deviate from Krishna consciousness. As long as you don't do it in the temple room. Right? There was actually a movie during the... When I was young, the name of the movie was Never on Sunday. And it was about a prostitute who did her business every day of the week except for Sunday. Because that was God's day, you know? So, just like it says in the Ten Commandments, some of you may know this, honor the Sabbath day, right? So there's a whole consciousness in many different religions. Of course, different religions have different Sabbath days. You understand? Like some religions, it's Saturday, the Jewish people, it's Saturday. A Christian religion, Sunday. Actually, originally in Christian religion, it used to be Saturday too. Sunday became later on because that was influenced by the worship of the demigods, the Greek demigods. You understand Greek demigods? Actually, a lot of Christian theology, actually 99% of Christian theology, original Christian theology, came from the Greeks. Especially Plato, Plotinus, and I'm not going to go into detail, but if you study history, it's quite interesting. So anyway, so getting back to the point, so this lady, she behaved herself. She was very religious one day a week because it was God's day. The rest of the day were not God's days. The rest of the days, they were her days to do her business. Anyway, so in the same way, you know, this is the house of God. We come here and pray. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Swami Jaya Jagadisha Hare. And then we go out and we do whatever garbage we're going to do. So that's Kanishta. God's in the temple. God's nowhere else. It's interesting. Interesting, the Mayavadis, they have the opposite thing. They say God is everywhere, but he's not in the temple. That's kind of stupid, isn't it? He's everywhere, but he's not on the altar. I mean, you're God, I'm God, we're all God, but the deities aren't God. Isn't it? They say, why are you going to the temple? There's actually this group in India. I don't know if you have here the Arya Samaj. You have that Arya Samaj here? It was very interesting. So this Arya Samaj was actually formed, I'll tell you the reason it was formed. It was formed to sort of like bring people in to like a semi-Vedic tradition, because people were, you know, there were a lot of Muslims in India and other groups and everything, like Christians, Muslims, and they couldn't appreciate deity worship. You know, like the Christians, they have this thing, Jewish people, they have this thing, thou shalt have no other God before me, no graven images, you understand, like that? And the Muslims also, they get pretty upset when they see deities. So the Arya Samaj was sort of like to bring people back to the Vedas without, you know, offending their sensibilities about Veda, about the deities. So anyway, so the Arya Samaj, they don't worship the deities. Actually, they don't like deities at all. And Arya, do you know that? So anyway, so the Mayavadis, they're like the opposite. God's everywhere, but he's not in the temple. Whereas the Kanishadikaris are God's in the temple, but he isn't everywhere. So they're like the opposite extremes. So the Kanishadikari is materialistic devotee, very weak in devotional service, can deviate in a second because he has no knowledge. That's the point. He's not, his faith isn't strong, and he doesn't have the knowledge that Krishna is everywhere. Whereas the Majjhima Adhikari, and that's what we're supposed to be, that's the point I'm making, is that we're supposed to be aspiring to be, or trying to be, Majjhima Adhikaris right now. That means seeing God everywhere and in everyone's heart. Now, how does that practically manifest? That means we treat everyone with respect. Everyone. All living entities. Why? Because God, why do we offer obeisances? Does anyone know why we offer obeisances? Because it's just our ritual that we do, you know. It's a fancy way of exercising. You know, instead of joining the Fiji Army and doing push-ups, you know, we offer obeisances. Why do we offer obeisances? Anyone know? Because we're offering obeisances to what? Krishna in the heart, and also to the devotee. But ultimately, the understanding is that Krishna is in everyone's heart. And of course, it's interesting, in the Upanishads, of course, there's the statement that there's two birds in every tree, in the tree of the heart, the tree of the body. And one bird is watching, and the other bird is trying to enjoy the fruits. You're the bird that's trying to enjoy the fruits. You know, you're just like, and Krishna's going, what an idiot this guy is. And then Krishna's just watching you, and you're going, boy, I like that fruit. I like that fruit. Wow, I want to get lusty. I like that lady. I like that man. I like that car. Right? Or if you happen to be a worm, what are worms like? Oh, I like the female worm. Anyway, so, or if you happen to be a bird, I like the worm, you know. Can you imagine that? You know, Krishna's watching you eat worms. So, anyway, so there's two birds in the heart, and Krishna's the observer, and we're the person who's trying to enjoy. So, it's extremely important that we develop the consciousness of seeing God in everyone's heart, and that way we act properly towards everybody. Because you can offend any living entity. You can offend an ant. You can offend, you can offend anyone, your husband, your wife. That's why it's really important to be compassionate with each other. I mean, sometimes it's easier to be compassionate with people who are not in the movement, right? Then, you know, when people close to you, that's the real challenge. Isn't that? It's a bigger challenge. I mean, I could walk on the street and be compassionate to everyone, say, we love you all. But then when you're dealing with someone who's with you all the time, like, especially husbands and wives, isn't that the challenge? To be compassionate and loving like that. So anyway, so the question is, how can we see God in everyone's heart, even though we're Kanishadikaris? Because I explained why we should do it. I already explained the why. And then how to do it. This is the challenge, because we're not seeing Krishna everywhere. I mean, I don't look at your heart and see Krishna. Yeah, I look at Sumukha's heart and all I see is just, you know, some hair on his chest or something like that. You know, it's not Krishna, you know, just, or some skin, you know, it doesn't, what do I say? You know, tridaduke, bile mucus and air, that's all I'm seeing when I look at you. So, Actually, there are different ways by which we, in our conditioned state, can see Krishna everywhere. There's many ways that come to mind. Well, one way is actually to see Krishna in our own selves first, matak smriti or gyanam apovanam char, intelligence, forgetfulness, and remembrance. Another way is to see Krishna in the ability in man, the strength of the strong, you know, like Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, and even in the taste of water. You know, these are all methodologies that Krishna has given us to understand how he is everywhere. Because this chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, it's not that all these manifestations are directly Krishna. In other words, they're not Vishnu Tattva manifestations. But at least they help us understand the omnipotency or the omnipresence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But like Krishna says of aquatics, I am the what? Shark! Krishna says of aquatics, I'm the shark. So when we see a shark, we think, Krishna. Or we see the Himalayas, and it's Krishna. Immovable things on Mount Meru, you know, because we don't see Mount Meru. That's a little hard. So we see Krishna. That's called Shastra Chakshus, to see through the eyes of Shastra. And then also another way we can see Krishna everywhere, which is really nice, is to see through the principles of Yukta Vairagya, which means how can something be used in Krishna's service? Just like if you see something, instead of thinking, how can I enjoy it? Right? Like if you see anything, like you see a car, for example, you see some car, instead of thinking, wow, I'd really like to have that, what, Mercedes? Or what other type of car do you like? The what? Is the best one. So you look at the car and you think, but you think, how can it be used in Krishna's service? Right? I mean, this is practical. It actually dovetails our own desires to acquire things. Then immediately we're thinking, how could he, just like myself, you know, I'm very attracted to electronic gadgets. Everybody knows that. And so when I see it, I'm thinking, how can I use that in Krishna's service? Of course, some things, it really takes a lot of imagination to use in Krishna's service. It's like, I told this example the other day. I was looking at someone who was hang gliding. Hang gliding? You know what hang gliding is? You have that here in Fiji, where they jump off of the, anyway. I was thinking, how can I use that in Krishna's service? And I couldn't come up with an answer for it. That was my challenge. But anyway, if you have this consciousness of using everything in Krishna's service, I'm a servant of Krishna, my body belongs to Krishna, you're meant to serve Krishna, then you actually approach people in relationship to Krishna. So there's many different ways that we can utilize to come to the right consciousness that everybody's part and parcel of Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna, everything emanates from Krishna, everything is meant to be used for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the right consciousness. And when you have that consciousness, then you can advance very quickly in devotional service and come to the Majjhima Adhikari platform. Of course, Majjhima Adhikari not only sees everything in relationship to Krishna, but they distinguish in terms of their interactions, isn't it? Like the Majjhima Adhikari, what does he do? He makes friends with the devotees, tries to help the innocent, and those who are like inimical to Krishna consciousness, he avoids, and he worships Krishna, the four types of interactions, right? Four types of interactions he has. But it's interesting, even though he's interacting with the living entities differently, he still loves them all. He sees them all as partner. Even if he avoids an inimical person. I was having this discussion with a sannyasi one time. I won't mention his name. You don't know him. And he said, a devotee should hate the inimical people. And I said, where is that stated? A devotee should avoid those who are inimical. But we love them. We're praying for their benefit. And I would say that's almost the biggest challenge of a Majjhima Adhikari, to love those who are inimical to Krishna or those who attack you. Isn't that a challenge? Because naturally, what do we want? We want to form enemy images of people in our minds. Like if someone is not nice to us, "You rascal!" Isn't that thought comes immediately? We have so many nice words for people in our Krishna conscious movement, isn't it? Rascal, demon, rakshasa, malecha. What other words? Anyone have any other words? Idiot. That's a secular word. So, idiot, fallen. Any other words? What? Huh? Suapacha. Yeah, dog eater. So. Oh yeah, suapacha. Sua. Oh, sua. I thought it was swa. Suapacha. That's dog eater. So sua is pig. Yeah, pig eater. So, you know, we have so many. And once you put a label on someone like that, you can't really love them anymore. You can't love a label, right? Because you can only love people when you see their connection with Krishna, see them as spirit souls. But once you label them, it's it. That's it, you know. You deal with them impersonally. That's very impersonal to deal with them like that. So even if someone attacks us, and especially if someone attacks us, that is our test. Just like those of you who go to school, you have tests in school, you know, whether you're in Form 6 or Form 7 or Form 100. Is there Form 100? No. Or whatever form you're in or grade you're in, you have a test. And the test is whether you're going to consider someone to be enemy or whether you're going to put a label on someone and not see them as part and parcel of Krishna. Because once you put a label, you don't see them as part and parcel of Krishna anymore. You see them in relationship to your sense gratification. You see them as an agent of your sense gratification or someone to avoid so that you can gratify your senses. So really, we should understand these things are tests. Whenever someone attacks us, that's a test. And what should we do? We should actually feel compassionate for them, pray for them. Well, that's very hard because we're overcome by passion right now, right? Passion means what? Friends, enemies. The concept that was rejected by Prahlad Maharaj in school. Friends and enemies, isn't it? If you think about it, think about in your own lives. Do you consider some people to be your enemies? I mean, be honest, isn't it? You consider some people to be your enemies. This is passion consciousness, demonia. The demons are in the mode of passion. Not so much ignorance. Ignorance is just sleeping. You can't be a good demon in the mode of ignorance. You have to have some passion. You understand? If a demon is completely in the... If someone is completely in the mode of ignorance, they can't be a demon because they're sleeping all the time. Then they're just peaceful in samadhi. The Prabhupada said the only two people who are actually happy in this world are people in ignorance and people Krishna conscious. So just think about it. This philosophy is meant to be integrated into your own consciousness. It's not something you just sit here and hear some Bhagavatam class, you know, be entertained by Maharaj, who tells a few jokes, quotes a few slokas, tells a joke, quotes a shloka. Anyway, that rhymes. So it's not that you're meant to be entertained. You're meant to apply the knowledge. That's the purpose of the Bhagavatam. To apply the knowledge, you know, why? So every verse that we read, we should be thinking, how can I apply that to myself? You understand? Not just, that was a nice story. Lord Kapiladev is preaching very nicely to his mother here. Isn't that wonderful? No, how he's preaching to us. How can I apply to myself? How can I integrate it in my own life? And so this is the lesson I'm getting from this particular verse and Srila Prabhupada's purport here. How does it apply to me? So when we give class, we should always... Actually, it's interesting. Analyzing people who preach, The most effective preachers are those who deal, when they're giving a class, at least 50 to 80% with application. Did you know that? Small amount with philosophy, because philosophy is just like, it's a little boring after a while. Yeah, we're all part and parcel of Krishna. Okay, Jai Hari Bo. We're all meant to love Krishna. Jai Hari Bo. Jai Maharaj. But actually, how do you apply this in your own lives? So that's my point. So any questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues? Yes.
Maharaj, you said we should not put label
on people. Yeah.
You do that, you won't...
You can't interact with them as a person. You can't realize that Krishna is in their heart once you do that. That's right. Yeah, I mean, Prabhupada was explaining their behavior, just like Jesus Christ. Okay, the Christian thing. It says, "Hate the sin, not the sinner." You've heard that expression before. So Prabhupada was his consciousness. I'm talking about his consciousness. One can misunderstand Prabhupada by projecting your own mentality and thinking that Prabhupada is doing things because you would do things. Just like, I mean, people would imitate Prabhupada. I mean, I'll give you an example. One of my friends, who was a Sankirtan devotee, he passed away. He would listen to Prabhupada's classes where Prabhupada would say that, quoting the Bhagavatam, Svavidvara hostra karai samstuta purusha purushudna yat karna pato pita jatunama gara graja. Those who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses are not interested in glorifying Krishna. They're interested in glorifying some mundane person. So he would go out in Sankirtan and say, "You are all hogs, dogs, camels, and asses." And he was not thinking like Prabhupada was thinking. When Prabhupada would call someone that, he would actually be thinking, see them as a spiritual and loving them, and, you know, wanting to bring them to Krishna. He wouldn't consider that is their identity. He would consider that is their action at the present time. It's one thing to say you are acting like a dog. And you can compare that to saying you are a dog. You understand the difference? So even if Prabhupada said this person's a rascal, Prabhupada was indicating that this person is acting like a rascal right now. He's acting contrary. What does Prabhupada mean by rascal? Prabhupada meant he's acting contrary to his actual self-interest. Swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Nate vidhu. Prabhupada was thinking of this verse. Nate vidhu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. Durashya ye bahita artha manina. Andara yatandara upaniyamanas te pishatantram uhudamni bada. Does anyone know this verse? Nate vidhu swartha gatim. Those who do not know Swartha gatim hi Vishnu, that their real self-interest or goal is Vishnu, then yebahirartha manina, they're actually outside, bahirartha, their interests are outside of Krishna consciousness. Andara yatandar, what does that mean? Does anyone know? Anda means what?
Blind.
Yatandar, they're blind people being led by other blind people. Upamniyamanas, they're like being led by the nose around this material. So Prabhupada was compassionate. I mean, just like, what do we say about a Vaishnava? I mean, this is called philosophical speculation, not mental speculation. A Vaishnava is Kripa Sindhu, right? You chant this in the morning, right? Kripa Sindhu means an ocean of mercy. Not simply full of compassion, but an ocean of mercy. Ocean is unlimited. So Prabhupada was feeling compassion for everybody. So he wasn't, when he called someone a rascal, that was a functional definition. You understand? Functional definition. Rather than, you know, you're a Nitya Swarup, rascal das, you know, rascal. Rather than, but when we call someone a rascal, it's different. I mean, I know if I call someone a rascal, I think they're a rascal. Isn't it? I mean, you're not in the same consciousness as Prabhupada, who is a well-wisher for all living entities. you know, we're just into this friends and enemies business. And rascal, you know, you're interfering with my sense gratification, you stupid rascal. So it's a little bit different. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful not to imitate Prabhupada. Like I mentioned, the Sankirtan devotee would imitate Prabhupada. He had the opposite reaction from people when he called them rascals. They got angry. He almost got killed several times. You know, if you go out in the street and call people rascal, what happens? In India, you're dead if you do that, especially in Bengal. If you say, you're a rascal, boom, you have a riot there. You'll be dead. So in other words, sometimes we can use words that seem to be like we're designating people, but it's the internal consciousness. You know, just like the spiritual master may say to the disciple, you're a rascal. But he's not thinking that he's an eternal rascal. He's thinking he's acting like a rascal. So you understand the difference. There's a matter of consciousness. There's the external words, and then there's the consciousness behind the words. So what I'm saying is that we have to be careful about using external words because they influence our consciousness. Whereas a pure devotee, you know, he's speaking something, but the consciousness, we don't quite understand what his consciousness is like, at least at the present time. I mean, we can understand philosophically, like I'm doing an analysis right now. You know, Prabhupada was compassionate. But we're not. So we have to be careful in our use of words. And that's what I find. Like devotees, that's one of the main things that interferes with relationships, I would say it's the main thing that interferes here in Fiji with our relationships. We give people a designation in our minds and we see them in terms of that designation. No longer Shastra Chakshus, it's designation Chakshus. Upadi. So it's actually Upadi is the Sanskrit word. Upadi Chakshus. We see people. That's a real problem, you know. And of course, that with many people, that may be even present in racism, for example. You know, I just hear, even here in Fiji, or even in India, there's so much racism, isn't it? Here in Fiji, there's so much racism between what part of India you happen to come from. If you happen to come from a certain part of India, then you call the other people, oh, they're just Indians. But where did you come from? Where'd you come from? The moon or something like that? I mean, Hare Krishna. So I mean, we're always seen by these external designations. And this is actually, whether it's racism, or we're designating according to someone's nationality, or we're designating someone according to their actions, you know, which is actually a little bit more subtle. We have to be careful if we want to have loving relationships in our movement. You know, certainly people will do things that are not nice sometimes, right? But we should see that this person is bewildered. That's a compassionate attitude. Certain people will act like rascals, isn't it, Sugriva? Did you ever act like a rascal? No. So, I mean, that's not Sugriva. Sumukha. You act like rascal, maybe. But I don't think of you as a rascal. So there's a difference. You understand? Very important point. And if we can understand this point, we can eliminate, I think, a lot, maybe about 70 to 80% of our interpersonal problems. Giving people a name. Actually, even Prabhupada said it. He said, give the dog a name and hang him or something like that. You understand? Like in every religion, they have bad names for people of other religions, right? Like kafirs, infidels. We're the infidels, in case you haven't figured that out. Right? I mean, it's just, this interferes with interpersonal relationships. What to speak of seeing Krishna in everyone's heart. If we want to please Krishna, and actually, there's so many statements. If we want to please Krishna, we should have loving relationships with each other. And the important aspect of having loving relationships is to see Krishna in everyone's heart. Yeah. What's that louder? Suryasama Mayahaya Andakar. Yeah, I know the words. Yeah. Because you're on a lower stage of devotional service. When you're on a higher stage of devotional service, even if you want to think of sense gratification, your mind goes to Krishna. So what to do about it? Hear more. We should always be hearing about Krishna. I mean, right now we're very fortunate. We have, MP3s and all these electronic gadgets. We can be hearing 24 hours a day. I mean, whatever you're doing, you know, even in the morning when you're waking up and going, taking your shower or whatever you're doing, you know, put on a little tape or something or chant Hare Krishna. Spiritual sound vibration will keep your consciousness on the right platform. Everything you do, whatever you're doing during the day, other than your work, of course, you can't put on an MP3 player if you're at the bank. You get in trouble, isn't it? But that's a little hard. But anyway, but whatever you're doing, there's so much opportunity for hearing about Krishna. Take advantage. Then the mind is easy to control. If you hear about Krishna at night before you go to sleep, you automatically think of Krishna when you wake up in the morning. But if you're going on the computer and playing video games before you go to sleep, you're automatically going to think about, I don't know what you're going to think about. You're going to think about something else. Or if you're yelling at your wife before you go to sleep, you're going to wake up thinking about that, right? So hear about Krishna at night. Hear about Krishna in the morning. Hear about Krishna continually throughout the day. Okay. That's it. Krishna's coming. Krishna's not in everyone's heart. He's just on the altar. He's also on the altar.